Welcome to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and retirement authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about some IRA rollover mistakes that have completely throttled people's retirement. And that while I enjoy hearing people's new, innovative, creative ways to destroy their nest egg, these are good lessons for you to learn so you don't make the same mistakes. Also, we're going to talk about what was said at the Republican National Convention this week that could affect your money. Do a little forward looking at the DNC coming on this week. We are your home for election 2016 coverage here on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Also, we got some great questions to ask when buying your retirement home. If you have a financial situation, you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Email us, gregory@gregoryricks.com. You can also find us or send us a message via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app or on gregoryricks.com if you have fun there. You want to stand up today?
You know, I can stand up easily at our weeknight studio, and then it's more difficult day. But I've been sitting down, and I feel like standing up at the moment.
After you get used to it, you wonder, like, why don't I always have this option? It's just weird because we usually sit down on the Saturday show, but Greg's standing up because, I don't know, we're getting used to it during the weekday gig.
Yeah, I like it. And, hey, I've got a long cord here I can move around.
Oh, so you're mobile now. I have no idea how that would be advantageous on a radio show, but we can try it out.
As long as the mic can travel like this, we're good.
It can. It can. So if I throw you a pass and it's a little off, you can go recover it, right?
You can hear me.
If I'm off the route.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, the over-the-shoulder catch, we can do that too.
You threw a duck.
No one can see any of this.
Can I mention a couple things? We're going to touch on 60-day rollovers as a reminder that it's problematic. It's kind of like using a self-directed IRA and putting real estate in it. It's bad things can happen easily. So we're going to touch on that. We're going to touch on the Social Security rules a little bit to remind you of what's going on. And I'm going to cover some things you probably don't know about fixed annuities.
I think we got a couple of comment cards we need to take care of too, because I like to answer all of those if we can get to it.
Yeah, I brought my copies of those too.
Well,
did you I know you're wanting to get into helicopters there, but I was looking at the paper this morning, cover page on the Advocate. They send a copy of that to me every day.
The whole thing.
They print it and everything. Color too. Imagine what that costs them on ink. Because I hate doing color copies. It's expensive. But what got my attention is, and this was already news, Duke is clueless, but he thinks he can run for office. Well, he can run. He's just not going to win. Who would vote for that nut? So I don't want to give him any more time, but it's 24 are running for the U.S. Senate seat vacating. That's being vacated by Vitter. I don't know who the list is, but darn, it's a bunch of people to sort through.
There's 24 candidates for that seat? How many political parties do we have? Some of you guys are repeats, right?
What, three or four?
Mm-hmm.
Depending. There could be five. What page?
Look, if there's more than
7A.
If there's more than three or four Republicans and more than three or four Democrats, that's ridiculous. Y'all need to take care of that yourself. But a lot of these guys are just fringe kooks. Hey, you know, legally, I can't run and still do this show because we would have to do equal time.
I hate it for you.
I know.
In that case, I'd have to go through the article. Let's see. They've got U.S. House races also listed here. I'm just not seeing that list, and it probably doesn't matter. Most of them, who knows why they're running, but we'll get that more defined. It's just 24, a lot to sort through.
I am interested by the citizen out there who treats it like some sort of hobby. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm just going to run for Senate, see what happens. No, we're not going to Six Flags, dude. This is a real job with real consequences. But you never have to worry about it because they never make it that far. Now, can we talk about the new era that we're in?
Absolutely. We're on that.
Because it was a milestone. Another milestone was made in drone deliveries. 7-Eleven had a customer who ordered Slurpees, a chicken sandwich, donuts, hot coffee, and a box of undisclosed, we don't know what brand it was, but candy. And what's remarkable about this order is the family-owned 7-Eleven in Reno, Nevada, said that they partnered with a drone startup, Firefly, and made the delivery to the dude's house. It's
this,
official.
This, but this sound, well, we're obviously the, it's prearranged.
Yes.
Because you'd have to check with, who was it? Joe was his name?
Joe?
The customer. Did they give his name?
Oh, I don't think. I think we use Fred, don't we? In that our default Fred, random Joe, person.
Okay, we'll go to Fred. He's also my yard man as well, by the way. Fred the yard man. Let's see. Where was I going with that? Just so happened. Oh, by the way, we have a drone ready to go. You want it sent to you. Or I guess they did some post or Facebook. It's a lot of money to spend on an ad to run commercials. Hey, we're now delivering by drones.
Yeah, well, they've done some other test flights for other deliveries, but this was the first time it was actually a retail non-test flight, as in the money exchanged hands, and it's considered a normal POS purchase. But they did have to go through the Nevada Institute for Autonomous Systems, the FAA. They had to pre-approve the flight plan. So this is not a normal what it's going to look like whenever this is instituted for the rest of us, but still it technically counts as a retail sale with a drone delivery, and that's the
milestone.
They
had to file a flight plan?
Yeah.
Are they going to be doing that for every drone delivery?
I think they just have to demonstrate that they can do it proficiently over and over and over before the FAA or the NAIS here in whatever the state agency is, but in Nevada, the NIAS, before they take their hands off and say, all right, just whatever. Let's make sure this works first.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, there may be some problems because the FAA has some new commercial drone rules that take effect next month, and the rules still don't allow for flying drones at night or outside of the line of sight of their operators. That's something you and I had talked about before, that so it might as well shut it down.
Right. That just kills it right there until that rule changes. And you know what they're saying by that rule is, we don't trust anybody at this time. So if you can't see it, you can't fly it.
They got to stop that.
Well, it'll change once there's confidence in that. But could you imagine seeing a flock of drones leaving the CBD making deliveries?
I'm surprised I don't see it already. We would be seeing it already if it wasn't for the FAA. We would be testing these suckers out, and there would be all kinds of advancements being made constantly, because these entrepreneurs who have their money on the line have the incentive to as quickly and as efficiently make these deliveries, solve the problems, come up with solutions and or workarounds. But right now, there's only 6 sites that the FAA is letting test out. And they still have the old rules crammed down where you have to have the line of sight. But the first actually federally sanctioned autonomous drone delivery happened when in Virginia last summer, actually a whole year ago. Some medical supplies were delivered to someone in a very rural, remote house in Virginia last summer. And that drone has already been taken down, and it's on display now at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum. That's how important that was. This milestone may be of similar importance, should it be the one that leads to, finally, some retail. Had pizza yesterday. We got pizza for the kiddos. Why does a human being have to drive that? Either throw it in an autonomous car or a drone. Drone's even better. Just drop it off in the front yard. Run off. Make sure my dog doesn't get it.
I can see the autonomous car at some point making deliveries, and you just go out there and they tell you what your code is, and you reach in there and pull it out. And the car, once it closes, the car knows you've walked away from it, and then it heads on. I could see that technology coming for delivery services. I think that'd be awesome. The drone, I'm still highly skeptical.
Why?
Of delivery. Well, my Slurpee might get spilt. Did they set it down properly? Is your mutt going to attack the food? It's like, yeah, I've been waiting on this for them to do this again.
Okay, but
that's what he's thinking.
They have a picture of the drone making the delivery. There's the drone and the box with the 7-Eleven stuff in it. It's in a 7-Eleven box, and it's being held by a string. It's just
okay. I know you're mighty optimistic, but I don't know if the FAA turns loose to that, the line of sight. So yeah, we can make deliveries across the street because we can see, but outside of that,
that's lame though.
Well, look, they don't trust you.
Well, they should. I don't trust them. How do they not trust us, but the FAA, who is made out of similar flawed human beings, is all of a sudden immune to errors? See, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why does all of a sudden, when it gets in the hands of government, these people turn into angels and they don't make mistakes and they're not corrupt and they're not bloodthirsty maniacs, but none of us can be trusted?
So it also tells you, were they really going to allow flying cars?
That might be a little different because there's people in it. I mean, they don't have the argument that, well, you know, you can't see what's going on. But I'm telling you, if they would get off of it, drones would already be huge. It would be like Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, I'm surprised that the government hadn't thrown some regulations to stop that. It's like, well, I don't know if we approved of this augmented reality.
I don't know about huge yet, but it might be progressing faster. It's like, just really got the technology and all where these things over the past couple years where these things can roll through the sky.
I know, but there's some salivating venture capitalist billionaire who's saying, man, if you just give me a year and let me do whatever I want with these drones, I'll have it working perfect. We'll have Amazon delivering drones. We'll have pizza delivered by drones. You can get your Slurpee delivered by a drone. If you want to order an adapter from Best Buy, they can slap it on a drone and they can send it to my home studio in your backyard over in Lakeview. Wouldn't that be nice?
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, they got to get out of the way first. All right, comment cards from our latest Gregory Ricks Live event. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. On that song, I think that's Chris Lane, The Fix. You hear that? He says, I'll be your Walter White high.
You know, I don't think I noticed that lyric there.
Yeah, it's in there. But then you're like, what is that? Well, if you've watched Breaking Bad, you'd know the pop culture mixed in with the lyrics of that song. I'm Gregory Ricks, your host. That's James Parker. Co-host across the table from me. It's Saturday morning. We're live. Live radio. That's what we do. 8 hours a week. We have the daily wrap Monday through Friday. It starts at 7 o'clock, goes for an hour. And we're here from 10 to 1. If you have a financial situation that you don't know what to do, you can call us 504-260-0995. You can email Gregory at gregoryricks.com. At gregoryricks.com, there's a site chat where you can interact with a team member, and you can do like so many are doing, is downloading the Gregory Ricks and Associates app to message us as well during the show. Instead of having to try to learn another phone number besides the one to call into, you can just get on the app and text us. It allows you a lot of other resources. One of the cool things clients use it for is to reach the financial dashboard. And remember, you got another great app to use to listen to us, as those that are listening across the country to us are using the iHeartRadio app.
All right. We have the next Gregory Ricks Live event, August 16th. That's a Tuesday, Ruth's Chris in Metairie, 6:30 p.m. If you want to be a part of that, if you got a financial situation or you got a big nest egg and you're like, I need to do something with this. I need to get a professional to look at this and make sure, number one, it doesn't go away. Number two, I can grow it as much as possible. Who do I find? Who do I trust? We'll come out to the first date. It's Gregory Ricks Live. And you get a chance to fill out a comment card, hear from us, meet the team, the Total Wealth Authority. You'll meet Dwayne. You'll meet our estate planning attorney. You'll meet our CPA. You'll meet our real estate pros. The last one we had a couple weeks ago, we were going through some of the comment cards. We still haven't finished those. And I think we need to, we definitely have to leave a couple of these not on the table. Because in this one, I'm starting with it. What's your primary concern is the comment card. Hang on a second. Well, we just got a question on Periscope. I'll get to you next. Let me get him to answer this one. Dude on Periscope. Louisiana something number. When going on Louisiana teachers retirement, will Social Security credits apply? How difficult and how many times do we hear that question, Gregory?
If you've worked your whole life in the state system, you're not getting any Social Security benefits. If you had some private sector employment, there could be some Social Security. I had significant time in the private sector, but I've worked the past 15 in the state school system. Well, then you're getting a big old haircut on that. You've got to have, I think it is 30 years of substantial earnings, and there's a chart that we go by. And basically, I don't know how you would work two full-time jobs is what it amounts to. Substantial earnings is quite a bit of a number. It's not some part-time job on the side for the past 30 years. So if you have 30 years of substantial earnings, then you get your Social Security benefits along with the teacher's retirement program.
So that's a yes and a no. I mean, it depends on how much you worked, depends on how long you worked, how much you made while you worked.
But let's say you've spent the past 40 years in the teacher system. You're not getting Social Security because you didn't participate in any of it. You're not getting spousal benefits from your spouse. And if your spouse moves on before you, you're not getting their benefit.
And it gets a lot more complicated from there. What's the windfall provision? Windfall elimination provision? Is that the one that is tied into?
That's part of that that's tied into that, as well as the substantial earnings or the, because there's a few exceptions, and that is the main one right there.
All right.
I've never met anybody that met that criteria to get both.
It is possible, though. It's
it is possible. Yeah.
All right. I got a question that just popped up on Periscope here. Mr. Louisiana 70070. I'm guessing that's a zip code, and that would put him, where does that put him down? Boutte? Luling? Where is that? I'm looking it up over here online. Anyway, he says, I need a new central AC unit. I have about $60,000 in equity. Should I do an equity home improvement? What do you think about that?
Does he have emergency savings?
I don't know.
That might be a no.
Mr. Louisiana 770, do you have emergency savings? Because,
at the core, we're assuming not, or he has an amount he doesn't want to touch. And basically what he's looking at is say, hey, I want to finance this redo on the AC system. That gives you some flexibility. Don't abuse. It's like a credit card. You get this credit card and all of a sudden, wow, I've got $6,000. And that's cool. But it's really bad. You go and fill that up. Next thing you know, you've got another big monthly bill added to your budget. Using a home equity line of credit, you could get a pretty big number out there. And some people go a little crazy with it.
So
use it to buy a car or something. It just, what you have to do is manage that debt so it doesn't get out of control and don't take forever paying it. Because the other thing you can get into, I'm just paying the interest. You know, we sat down with somebody a few weeks ago, James, that was, you know, that's what they're doing is paying the interest. Now we've got to shift things because I need to start applying some principal. And the answer is yes, you do, because you need it to go away at some point.
Okay, so what if he does have emergency funds? He should pay for his new AC out of that?
It's still a continuing conversation because what we're wanting to do is correlate it to everything that he's doing. But does, in one sense, is he going to manage the debt properly? What's his plan for paying it off?
Well, does this
we
change
don't
it?
Want him. Because the other Andy, if he dries up his emergency fund, how quick can he get that back? Because the other option, well, I can throw it on a credit card. He might not have that ability. That's where the home equity line of credit could come in. Because on the other hand, he uses his cash. He says, well, I don't have emergency fund, so I'm going to open an emergency line of credit.
Got some more response here. Two new pieces of information. First off, it's a she. And she says she plans on selling the house very soon. So you don't
that, have... Then that changes the whole equation because she needs to get this fixed to get most value. And for me as a buyer, that'd be one of the most important things I look at in making a purchase is the mechanical system of the house, and that's the air conditioning system. It's the part that most people overlook that can cost you the most headaches, but it's also going to cost you the most money in making a repair as a buyer. It would cause me to walk.
But if you take that home equity line of credit, I imagine when she sells the house, she's going to have the money to pay that off right off the bat. So it doesn't matter if she's just
they're
making interest
clear
payments.
It. They're actually going to clear it before they cut her a check for the balance of her equity on the sale.
So that makes us lean more toward, yes, a home equity line of credit would be the way to go.
If that's her best way to go about that, it makes total sense. She's fixing it to get the house ready to sell.
Well, and I told you 60 grand is what she has in equity. You said a 6,000 line of credit. Is that some sort of rule of thumb? They usually give you about 10%.
I was just using a line of credit. It's up to the lender. They're not going to give you 100%. And hey, they may if you're really stout credit-wise, because they just everything says you're good. You're good in the past. You're good in the future. But generally not.
Well, I know in the limited experience I've had shopping for homes, the idea that someone has a brand new air conditioning system with new ducts and everything, That's a big plus.
Oh, it is. Now, put it this way. You
she has
me,
great credit.
Well, we know back in the day, and this might be more for Dwayne later at 1 o'clock as well. I know in the past, when they'd lend money to anybody and everybody, it was not unheard of for somebody to say, yeah, we'll give you 120% home equity loan. So they would give you more. I don't think that was a great outcome where people could borrow more than the value. But those people, I would think, had to have good credit. But we did have a day where money was loaned about anybody.
Gee, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. All right. Can you answer this one in a minute and a half? At age 59, is it too late to take advantage of a Roth IRA? I think you actually touched on this one in the event, if I remember correctly, right?
It is not, as long as you have earned income to contribute. The other way to take advantage of a Roth is doing a Roth conversion, converting some money over from IRA to Roth. And sometimes people don't understand that. So, I can convert it, and they think that's their way of working around the taxes. That's a taxable event, doing a conversion from traditional to Roth. But here's the magic on a Roth is, okay, you've converted it, you've paid the taxes. What have you done? You've spent some tax money, or you've made that contribution to the account. I think what the magic is it having 10 years to work so it can grow and develop that tax-free part. Because remember, if you get $100,000, for example, into a Roth, and in 10 years, it's grown to $200,000, that's the magic, is that $100,000 that grew, and it's tax-free on distributions. That's the magic. Think about if you could get it to do that one more time, $200,000 to $400,000, you've gained $300,000 in tax-free money. That's why you should be doing it now, James.
Is 59 too late, though?
No, it depends on does it have time. You're going to live the 90. I think it has time. Remember, each individual is different.
Next question. Mark has 20 grand in savings. He wants to take half and move it. Where should he put it? I'll get your answer on that next. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. You can get a copy of Form ADV, and we have that because we are a licensed fiduciary. So SEC and FINRA requires all these different filings, and one of them is disclosures called Form ADV. You get it when you become a client, but you can also get it upon request. Call the office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. One of the things I forget is how all these different things to follow us, and we are streaming on Periscope today. We did Facebook Live the other day, but I think by September, our goal is to be consistently streaming shows on both Facebook and Periscope. And we're creating a dual screen experience because there's times when, especially on the Daily Wrap, we talk about the market and such, and we're going to pretty much have our go-to meeting for you to log into and see what we're looking at. And then, of course, see us as well through these different having the ability to stream multiple ways. But something I don't talk about much is you could go like us, follow us on Facebook, Twitter. What's that chat thing? Snapchat.
Speak and Spell.
As well. Yeah, Speak and Spell. What else? Twitter, LinkedIn, all those, whatever connects you. But most is just follow us on Facebook. Like us there.
Magnificent via the Periscope stumbled into our financial advice goodness and says, I have $20,000 in my savings. I want to take half and move it. IRA, annuity, a CD, or keep it there.
Well, I'm glad he said half because he needs to maintain savings and emergency fund. One of the mistakes people make is, oh, I've got enough money now. Let me go open an account or move it with somebody and get it to work. If you're going to put that money to work, say using a brokerage firm or account or using equities, you're needing to allow that money to move around some depending upon your risk tolerance.
Mark says he's 40, by the way.
And okay, thanks for that, Mark. And how much time horizon are you given that money to work? And you need to develop probably as an investor some core rules, you know, and I'll help you with three of them. Avoid losing money, have it working when it should, and the return of your money is more important than the return on. So that's kind of a basis to start with, and then other things that you're looking for out of investing. So one of the ways is, depending on income and what other retirement programs you have, one of the serious things to consider is Roth. Drink the Roth Kool-Aid. That money grows tax-free, and at age 40, you can put up to $5,500 a year into it.
Dan, we're assuming this is already after-tax income. He's already paid the taxes on this.
Yeah,
so
Roth
why not
contributions
Roth?
Is after-tax income. If you're going to do an IRA, depending on your income, it could be tax-deductible there. Annuity is probably going to have some timeline connected to it, depending on whether using a fixed indexed or, say, a fixed interest annuity. Could be anywhere from a few years to a lot longer. I consider the sweet spot is 10 years or less on fixed annuities. And a CD would be something that you're really conservative, but hey, I'm going to need some of this money for a house down payment down the road or something like that. That's where you might just want to stay really conservative.
But how does he get it into a Roth? Because you can only put earned income into a Roth. And if this was earned income from last year and it's been sitting in a savings account, how do you characterize that?
He makes earned income every year.
So he would put that into the Roth and live off the savings?
How it got there.
I know.
Somebody could have gave him the money. Could have been a gift. The whole $20,000 could be a gift.
Okay.
Or inheritance. But he's making earned income this year. That's what allows him to put money into an IRA or a Roth, is the earned income for the year of contribution.
So he would
You've never asked me that question that way before.
Right, but he would have to take his current check that he gets, put that into the Roth, and live off the 10 grand
no,
that he's pulling
from savings?
No, it
doesn't matter where it comes from.
Really?
He's earned income this year, so it doesn't matter what source gets it there.
Okay.
The only
okay.
rule is, do you have earned income this year?
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, for the year of contribution.
You're right. I don't think
see,
we've ever parsed that out.
His wife his wife is not working.
Okay.
And he could do a contribution to the Roth for himself and for her as long as he has enough earned income to cover the $11,000. So if he's made $12,000, yeah, he made more than enough income to cover the $11,000, contributing for both.
Okay, I got another question here. Let's get to that one. Can we face another economic crisis after presidential election? This comes from Veritas.
I'm taking it two ways. Is that asking that can we tolerate another, you know, or is it all going to come apart if we have another financial crisis? Or do we think there's going to be one? Look, we can tolerate and we'll make it through another one. Because it is going to happen. Will there be a financial crisis after the election? Yeah, sometime beyond it is. There is a lot of black clouds out there in the financial world. One of the core ones is everybody has ridiculous debt. One of the things that's been quiet for a long time but will rear its head again is China and their economy. And we were on the Daily Wrap, we were talking about all the layoffs that are going on over in that country, not needing all that labor and the people to put the widgets together anymore. Things are changing, and they have their own version of Uber, and there's just not enough need for that to employ 6 million or so people falling out of work.
I think, of course, we're going to have another financial crisis, but we have a very velvet pillow fluffy idea of what a financial crisis is. You know, we talk about the Great Recession, the greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression. Wasn't that bad. What did we get up to, 10% unemployment? In the Great Depression, it got up to 24%. GDP contracted gigantically, like by a third.
Yeah, we can't necessarily tell how bad things are going to be, but is there going to be a recession again? Normally there is, but it just seems the central banks around the world want to do everything, especially our Federal Reserve is. We would like to not, you know, if you had them talk about it, and I think this is a good question, you know, I'd ask Janet, you know, hey, we need to go one of those meetings and get us a pass so we can ask some questions, or hey, take callers from radio shows, okay? And do you foresee ever having a recession again? Is that something you're going to tolerate, or is that something you're absolutely wanting to avoid? And that's what I think is their intent is to put out there that we're going to raise interest rates, but also behind that is we don't ever want to pop a bubble. We don't want to disrupt anything. So even though our intent is to raise interest rates, we probably won't ever. It'll be rare.
And what we call
it, because that's what we're seeing.
Right. But what we call a financial crisis here is better than the economies of most Western European countries. Right now, I just had to Google it just so I wouldn't be talking off the cuff. The unemployment rate in Spain, 20%.
Yeah, it's been that way.
When we had our financial crisis, and when it was the worst of the worst in, 2009 and 2010, it got up to, 10.8%? So our worst economy that we've ever experienced in our lifetime is twice as good as Spain's economy right now on a normal level. See what I'm saying? Like, everyone freaks out. We are in better shape
than majority of the planet. There's not many countries that have it as well or better than us. Is there going to be problems? Yes, and you need to prepare for them and have emergency savings. Some of your investing philosophy should be based upon how markets might react and how much it might move down. What is your tolerance for that pain? And should everything be to equities? I would say no. You should have some money down the street at the bank. You might should have some no-risk financial tools that still offer some form of liquidity. Just be careful putting money in something that is illiquid. And what I mean by that is you can't dial up and say, hey, I want you to sell it all and send me my check. Now, sometimes that's going to include a fee, but what you don't want is an absolutely no answer.
All right.
You don't want them to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't take it out.
Then
that happened to the fireman's pension fund.
Oh, right. Can we get our money back?
Yeah. We're liking the return. Okay. We're wanting to sell.
I'll send you a promissory note.
That's when it all came apart.
Good deal. On that one, you have 1 minute to answer this, but it's not going to take you more than a minute. Liquid assets, cash in hand. What's a good amount to have when you talk about these liquid assets, the emergency money? What do you think?
You know, kind of core thing for people working is 6 months to a year. I kind of think if you're an employee working somewhere, I kind of think somewhere 5 to 10,000 you should always have on hand. You know, just a hurricane hits, you've got to leave, buy fuel, buy food, hotel. That's going to eat up a few grand right there. AC breaks, that's 5 grand. So I think it needs to be 5 to 10. If you're retiring, I think the core number is 50K.
All right, we'll continue with this, answer some more comment cards, get to the financial news of the day. If you have a financial situation you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. In the back of an old Ford truck, in the bar just looking for love, get a pair of old my blue eyes, let them fireworks start.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to us on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Co-host James Parker's here with me as well. I know I was entering the property here at the station, that song came on. I was like, I want to hear it again during the show. Thanks, Angie, for pulling that up.
Thanks for not listening to WRNO on your way to work.
I was listening to WNOE on the way to work, another iHeart station. As well,
just two rooms down here, down the hall, two doors down.
Yeah, they play some great music. I listen to them when I'm not listening to WRNO.
Well, does the guy listen?
But I'm always on the iHeart stream, somewhere listening to something, but it's iHeart.
Does the common guy out there on the street know that there's like 7 stations in this building, and we're all co-workers, and we all share coffee pots and hang out? Because it's an eclectic group. You get Eddie Edwards, the old country guy, right next to DJ Slab 1 from Q93. And then we're over here with the financial, the news nerds over here. Hey, guys. You know, we're the nerdy ones, the less cool ones.
Yeah, I don't know if the average person doesn't realize what's all is taking place in this building. And it's all good.
Oh, yeah, dude. I go to Mardi Gras parties. We have Thanksgiving luncheons, and I'm hanging out with A.D. Berry and Adrian Long and Uptown Angela and Eddie Edwards. It's really weird because when I talk to some of my friends, I don't think they get that we're all just kind of stuffed in the same little third floor studio complex down here in the CBD. To the phones we go. This is Jacques in Laplace. Hey, Jacques, welcome to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hey, fellas. I had one question about I got a little piece of property in the parish, and they told me they found some natural gas on it, but I could wait. I know the prices are down and stuff like that, and I've got some income coming in this year. Do you think it's wise to wait? Another thing about the drones. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. FAA doesn't, you know, they have a pretty good reputation. There's not a lot of planes running into one another in this country. So I defer to them on the drone thing because, you know, if a drone's out of sight, the guy's flying blind. Do you really want these things flying blind? Some of these things are 20 pounds flying around like little missiles, you know. Do you really want them? I mean, if a guy goes up in the tower in New Orleans, he can see for 10 miles. Do you really need somebody flying further than that? That was my question, but I'll listen to the answer off the air.
Hey, stick around for a second. We'll jump on. Well, he just bolted, but that's okay. Look, natural gas is cheap, and we have a lot of it. And just like on your property, they keep finding it. There's no shortage, and the technology is going to continue to improve. And they're going back to old wells that they thought were dry and dry, so to speak, that there's no gas. And this, hey, look, we're going to do this little chemical thing, create this little burst, and boom, it's oozing out money again. I would be more inclined to turn it on, the income. Is there a reason why you would wait? And did they tell you, you know, you've only got 3 years worth or four or five? And I don't know. And I don't know enough about the geology of this. So there could be other things on waiting, but then all of a sudden they find a bunch more somewhere and say, yeah, we'll get back to you. And you could then be waiting on them, like, you know, it's not like you're refrigerator repairman. Yeah, we'll be out. We got you on the list. So you didn't want that repair last year. Okay, we'll get to you soon. They're kind of busy. I'm just thinking, just based on that question, I'd turn on the income. What are you waiting for natural gas to go up in price? I don't think that's something happening dramatically or soon.
I would jump all over it in 5 seconds. You're gonna cut me a check, drill away, baby.
Yeah, let's pump me out some money.
Right. You know, low check is better than no check. And there may be no check if you keep goofing around too long.
Yeah, I've not known anybody. Yeah, I know. It's God, a lot of money. I've just enjoyed living off the cornfields here and the sugar cane. And I don't know. Should I take some money? Heck yeah.
But Jock,
cash that check.
As far as the drones go, it's just ludicrous to think without the FAA, there would be no financial incentive for these things not to crash into each other already. I guarantee you get rid of the FAA, we're not going to have planes crashing into each other.
Here's the thing.
Do you really think without the FAA, they'd be crashing?
It's the GPS. They all know. And just like planes can fly without pilots. We've got, you know, that can happen. The computers do it more than you think. And landing as well. So what I was thinking, though, when he brought that up, you could have your own personal drone tower. How many stories can we go up with a tower? Put you up there, James. And okay, you just, like he said, you can see for a long ways. You get you a tower, put you a tower on top of this building, go up another four or five stories with a tower. Dude, you could is line of sight. How far could you fly it?
But you know what you would be? You wouldn't be a drone pilot, because it would be insane to think that someone standing on the top of One Shell Square can accurately remote control a drone that's halfway to Metairie by now from that distance, right? How accurate could you possibly
be? The computers are going to do it.
Of course. So then
the GPS, geosynchronous orbit, you know.
Right, but if that guy's not actually going to be physically controlling the drone but watching it, what is he then? He's a drone monitor. He doesn't actually keep it from crashing. He doesn't actually he makes it safe.
He just lets you know.
Yeah, he just tells you when it crashes. But you don't even need that. You're going to have equipment on the drone that says, holy crap,
did you just make that up?
I did. He's a drone monitor. That's what he'd be.
Yeah, yeah, but the concept came from somewhere else.
Yes, from the commercials.
I'm not here to stop the robbery. I'm here to let
I'm a robbery monitor. Right. I'm a termite monitor. You have termites. Might want to get that fixed. That's what you would be.
That's hilarious.
They've privatized their equivalents of the FAA in Canada. The planes didn't start crashing into each other. You know what they did? The first thing they did when Canada said, all right, hands off, we're going to privatize the air traffic control system. They upgraded all the computers. They upgraded all the operating systems. And they upgraded all the software. They were using what they were using at the DMV over an airline. They were basically with those DOS programs because the technology was years and years and years behind. Everything got faster and more efficient. And they were you'd be fine.
Look, drones are going to crash, monitored or not. The engine's going to go down. The battery's going to crack and lose power, or however it's powered, or the little fuel tank it has. Something's going to happen, or geosynchronous orbit goes down and everything stops. It's going to happen. But here's the thing. Well, I was thinking this, and that might not always work, but if it could check that, we've got a system failure, will it go land itself nearby?
Oh, absolutely. They'll have all those fail safes in there.
Or it just, yeah, it's fine to land in place straight down, fast.
And if you're, thinking only the public sector could save us from these evils, no, the private sector has a great incentive for their drone to not crash into some lady that's walking on the sidewalk, because they'll get sued for millions. And would it be cheaper to put in a fail-safe system on your drone or pay off everyone who your drone crashes into millions and millions in settlements and legal fees and all that? The incentive's already built in whether the government steps in or not.
Yeah, there is a race for who figures it out, gets the most protections built in, and makes it profitable and operating. And it'll get affordable when you can sell a gazillion of them.
Well, and we just need to beat everyone else to it. That way, we're the ones selling it to the rest of the world. That's the reason the world's using Facebook, a company in America. And
just
not,
don't use China to build it.
They'll copy it anyway, but it will be an inferior copy, right? All right. We can squeeze in one more here. We got 2 minutes to answer this question from a comment card. What's your primary concern? This is from our previous Gregory Ricks live event. The next one is August 16th. That's a Tuesday, Ruth's Chris in Metairie. For more information, GregoryRicks.com or your Gregory Ricks and Associates app. On a 401k plan that does not allow much access to assets, what is a safe environment at this time with economic picture at present?
We're at a market top. So does the market know it's a top? No, we know it's a top. The market doesn't know it's a top, and that it's going to stop. I would not be all in on equities. I would be conservative. And probably what he's referring to is he doesn't have too many choices. And most of what are your choices in 401k plans? Some small selection of bond funds, a bunch of target date funds now, and then equities. And the target date funds are depending on how far the target date out is, and they call them lifestyle, but what they have is a date so far out that 2050 is your retirement timeline. So it starts mostly with equities, and it increases its bond portion as it moves towards and gets closer to that date out there. And you need to pick some mix that gets you comfort in this environment, knowing that we're pretty high up and we are facing problems. We don't know what's going to be the reaction to the election. We have negative interest rates globally. There needs to be a portion of caution that what goes up, there is some gravity in the market that it does come down. Look at the past 20 years.
So I have most of mine. I think I'm at 80% stable value money market fund. The rest I have invested in one of the vehicles. Is one of these more ultra conservative one that grants about 1% a year no matter what the market does?
I'm 100% in my 401k in stable funds at this time.
All right, if you want to be next, 504-260-0995. Don from Diamond Head, we see you. We'll get you after the news break. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You're listening to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm Gregory Ricks, your host, 401k and Retirement Authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Still coming up left in the show. We got to share with you some of the stories Gregory was regaling us during the weekday version of Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Some IRA rollover rules and pitfalls. And the fun part about this is here, new creative, innovative ways people have screwed up their retirement. It's more fun than it sounds, trust me. We also got to talk about what was said at the Republican National Convention that could affect your money. And we're going to look forward to how that's going to compare to what we're seeing this coming week at the Democrat National Convention. We're going to review a couple more of our comment cards from the last Gregory Ricks live event. We're going to tell you the sad tale, the end of an era, an old technology finally passed away this week. But if you have a financial situation you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can email us, gregory@gregoryricks.com. You can send us a message either via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or if you go to gregoryricks.com and type your question into the chat box, it'll pop up there. To the phones we go. We're going to start off this hour with Don in Diamond Head. You're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Don?
How you doing, Gregory? I've been a client since last December. Last August, I went to cash, and then the market dropped. It dropped again in February. I'm just wondering if I'd stayed in the market, would it be an up? Would my money be down, or would it be up because of those two drops?
Depends on how it's placed. That doesn't look when you if you're going from an index standpoint. Technically, looking at this most recent market high, you would be up a few percentage points at this time because the market finally broke through after Brexit. But, you know, when you're conservative as you are, Don, it's kind of difficult to weather through those drops and have that faith that this is always going to come back. Because like 01, 02, 03, 08, August of 2011, all those are scary times. These are scary times. And we just don't think also at this point this holds. Now, what would have been the perfect thing as far as timing is to make money on the drop and the up. What would have been perfect and on Brexit was to sell at that, have an inverse and sell at that bottom or when it turned, and thus somehow knowing that the market was going to bounce up when everything said it didn't, except the only thing we really didn't know at the time is the world central banks were going to go in and start buying the market and thus push it to record highs. Do we think it's going to sustain that, stay there? I lean against it. I'm more concerned about where we end up at the end of this year. But being we have a lot more data, and when you go to having corrections, Don, what was our last data resource of how securities are responding to corrections? And that was August of 2011. So data is very old. So buy and hold people will have an argument versus those that kind of say, hey, I don't want to tolerate much downside, which means you have to exit.
Okay. I definitely sleeping better at night knowing you watching it on a daily basis because I made some big mistakes in the past. But I was just curious how that worked out.
Well, what this is we probably need to have an expanded discussion on rule number one, don't lose money. Because it's more important it's more devastating to lose money than to miss a gain.
Yeah, and
yes, I agree.
And even with my strategy of being conservative, you know, not very loss tolerant, and which is where majority of my clients fall, is we're also going to be patient in this style of money management, like you obviously would absolutely have to on buy and hold. And that's where we're going to take advantage of situations since we have more data about downward movements and taking advantage of. But there's also one core thing is we absolutely really never know, even though we're pretty good at this. Thanks for the call, Don. I appreciate that, and it's a great question for the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don. All right, let's go to Total Wealth Authority member Stephanie Campani. She is one of the partners of the Dwell Nola Realty Firm and one of the members of the Justice League of Your Money that Gregory Ricks has assembled. Hey, Stephanie, how are things going on at Dwell Nola, and what you bring into the show next weekend?
Things are great. No complaints here. We're going to talk about, since we're in hurricane season, we're going to talk about how to prep your home for storms. And then we're also going to talk about the importance of flood insurance.
I sure hope we don't need to prepare for anything this hurricane season.
So far, so good. It just doesn't look like it, but you never know. They creep up on us out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's the problem, is the surprises.
Well, and we're about to hit the two biggest months where we get most activity. So I thought it'd be important to discuss with everyone.
I think it's a great topic, and I'm acutely aware of August and September coming every year. I'm like, okay, we got 60 days. Can we get through this?
Yeah, but it can't happen again. We already had it happen once.
Hurricanes don't know what's moved through before. Only we do. It's like stock market doesn't know where it is. You speak of it as it's some living entity pushing out hurricanes to mess with us. They don't know.
Have y'all not noticed that I live here now and these types of things only happen to other people? It can't happen to me. So there's a magical force field.
And you live in Lakeview.
Yes.
One of the hardest hit. So
I do too.
Hopefully
now
you're prepared just in case.
Yeah, I have backups of all my files. Is that what you're asking?
That is one of the most important things, yes. And know where it all is so you can access it easily.
Thank you very much. We look forward to your visit next weekend.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephanie. I am a magical good luck force field. That's one of the reasons the hot redhead married me, because she has dumb luck. She's always walking into things and just hurting herself. But since she's been with me, there's been no catastrophes. No one's T-boned her car. There's been no major floods, you know, with 4 feet of water in the attic. No, that hadn't happened since Parker showed up. Things have been pretty good. What do? We won a Super Bowl right after I got here.
It's all you, dude.
Well, it's part of it. I can control a little bit. I can't fix everything. We still have potholes. I got it. Maybe we got to dodge a couple bullets here and there.
Yeah, what's the problem there?
I'm working on that next. All right. Where were we?
I did see it. Must have happened just before I went through the intersection, a Pontchartrain and Vets, I guess, as Vets comes to an end there.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like, somebody ran a red light, but one car, its whole front end was smashed up, and it looked like it was a small Mercedes SUV. Looks like it had bounced, did a little roll there with the damage. Yikes. See, gotta be careful at those intersections.
And I know what you're thinking. It's probably someone playing Pokemon Go while you're driving. Hitting it.
That was my first thought. Not really, but...
Well, see, here, we could be a part of that fun, too.
But those phones should not be working if somebody's going more than walking speed.
Look, they have a technology to deal with that, and it's coming from a company based in Baton Rouge, actually. And I'm not a fan of this, because... You know, I am a fan of playing Pokemon Go while you drive. In fact, I encourage people to do it. As crazy as that sounds, you can do both. Okay, you can. But why are you discouraging people from using their phone while they're driving? Because there could be people now.
Just kill his mic the rest of the show.
On Facebook Live right now, people could be watching us while they're going down the road. Do you want to discourage them from doing that, being a part of the show in a video fashion? I don't.
Hey, I don't think you should.
Here it is.
I'm not so much of a fan of talking on the phone driving down the road.
Oh, you're just ridiculous now. I'm talking on the phone. I'm texting. I'm catching Pokemon. I'm watching YouTube videos.
Well, you can ask Stacy. I get her on the phone. Then I realize she's, are you driving? Yeah. Okay. Then I get to what I wanted to ask or whatever. Say, I got to get off the phone. And then if I'm at the house, guess what? She drives up in the driveway. And what is she doing?
On the phone.
Yeah. But I got off the phone so you could just focus on driving. She gets on the phone with somebody else.
It's the same.
But she's hands-free, so.
Well, that's cheating. It takes all the challenge out of it. It's like using a game genie. But the point is, it's the same argument we use for gun rights here. Why do you let the irresponsible people who can't handle the responsibility of playing Pokemon Go or texting while driving ruin it for the rest of us who can, who are responsible with our cell phones while driving?
I wonder what your insurance company would have to say about this.
Oh, I'm an insurance nightmare if they hear this. But when you look at my driving record, how many wrecks have I been in the last 15, 20 years? Oh, that's right. Zero. None.
Oh, you need to be careful there.
What did I say? What did I say earlier this segment?
Hey, by the way,
those types of things only happen to other people. Bad things can't happen to me.
I'm changing the subject. You're influencing people the wrong way. Yeah, I see.
There's a technology that's coming out of a company in Baton Rouge.
Isn't it in the system now?
No, it's
I
not.
Thought it was.
No, well, no, no. It lets you play, but you can't catch the Pokestops. And if you're going too fast, you can't catch Pokemon. You can still have the app on while you're driving
and see.
Right, but the technology I'm talking about is
it should end the game.
No, don't stop that. It's called Cell Control. The product they created is called Drive ID, and it prevents drivers from sending texts, checking social media, looking at videos. It basically shuts down the cellular capabilities of your phone while the car is going past a certain speed, and it's caught on really fast with companies who have drivers. If you have a delivery driver or if you own a taxi company.
I have breaking news.
Okay.
I have to interrupt this Pokemon Go BS. We have an expo going on the North Shore in Slidell. It is, what's the name of that expo?
The Senior Living Magazine 55 Plus Lifestyle Expo.
Yeah, and I just received a text. I have team members there. I've got a picture of Christy, Nicholas, Ashley, I believe Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo. Cross Country Mortgage has a booth next door to us there. It's represented there, but I have team members there. One of my advisors on my team's there, and Ashley sent a text that this thing is just killing it. She said this has been an awesome expo so far. Buses of boomers arriving every hour. This must be better than a casino. They're just loading them up in buses and heading by there.
Yeah, if you want to be a part of that, it just started at 11 o'clock. It's going until 4 o'clock at the North Shore Harbor Center in Slidell. Today only, the Senior Living Magazine 55 Plus Lifestyle Expo. Yeah, we got a booth out there. Go say hi to the crew. We're stuck here. We'd be up there, too. 504-260-0995 if you have a financial situation. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull. It can buy me a Yeti 110 eyes down with some silver bullets. Yeah. So, well, you can buy me a boat.
Down on the river. Hey, love this song. Maybe we can be a billionaire one day. Like the guy with Dollar Shave Club. Hey, by the way, this is Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, and James Parker's here. But this guy, his last name's Dublin. Let's see if I have this. All the names pulled up on my computer, talking about $1 billion. You reckon he can get a boat and a truck to pull it? I still have that open. You know, I usually keep stuff open for a couple weeks.
Right, and you're telling the story of the guy who started Dollar Shave Club, and it just sold to Unilever earlier this week.
Unilever paid $1 billion for it, and he started it based on a YouTube video, hilarious, back in 2012. And it went viral. It's had over 23 million views. But the conversation about razors came up at a party at house of a friend of his, and the dad was there and heard that Dublin was into some e-commerce and stuff. And so I've heard you have some experience, but I have 250,000 razors. Any idea how we could get rid of those? And then he also talked to a South Korean firm about ordering more. And the guy, the head of that firm, basically said, yeah, it looked like he rolled out of bed to come to the meeting. And he pitched an idea. And they said, like, I don't know if this will work. So they went ahead, did the deal for the order. But they said his first order, yeah, he had to pay cash up front, so to speak, there. And they brought on other investors and such, and some of them, like one of the guys that ended up with 15% of the company at the end of the buyout, said, yeah, as an e-commerce company, we really didn't see this thing going anywhere or making any money. And how do you make money selling razors for $3 monthly subscription that included postage? Well, Unilever thought it's a good deal. They did over $350 million in sales last year. Unilever paid them $1 billion. The guy that is still the focus of all the commercials is the founder. He's not a actor that they put in there. That's him. He walked away with a 9% stake at the end, $90 million for an idea that started with a YouTube idea. It started at a party. Marketing was a YouTube video that went viral. Servers crashed, and they sold out of their first order of inventory in 6 hours. And next thing you know, he can afford a boat and a truck to pull it and a bunch more.
Part of me thinks that they didn't ever really make money off the razors themselves, but the idea that you can gather all of these customers, all this information, you could probably turn around and next time you send them a razor shipment, send them a coupon for aftershave or for one of those little horsehair brushes.
They were adding on products to that mix as well. So, yeah, I think they understood the marketing and the idea to connect. And look, one thing he was talking about when he opened the warehouse distribution center last year, because it all started out of his garage, and he was talking about that he put a fan on the printer that was printing the labels because it was running 24/7, so he was having to keep the machine cool as it was running. So he'd put them all in a bag and throw them over the fence, and I guess whoever was doing the labeling of the packages and shipping would go pick up the sack and start putting labels on packages as well. But he said he really didn't realize, you know, it just didn't hit him till last year, till he saw this distribution center where thousands of orders were going out every day. And I might be low on that number, but it's just like, wow, this thing's really gotten big. Well, I wonder when he saw his check for the buyout, he thought that was really big.
Is that how it comes to him? Does he just get a check that's cut to him for $90 million?
Well, money's being paid to him. Now, he's going to have to pay somebody else out of that. Uncle Sam gets a chunk. But, yeah, it's simple as that. That's his share of the company. He's getting $90 million.
Well, I like watching these companies because we're trying to figure out how we can monetize just these stacks of data and really the customer roles. Because I'm thinking the real value of this company isn't the razors that they're selling. Like I said, it's just the access to that many customers who are on board. And you can get other companies, hey, give me a coupon for your aftershave or for your shaving cream or for this hairbrush product or this Rogaine
or
something else.
There is a bit. There has to be, and there is a bigger picture. Bring $1 billion to the table to take it over.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, just like the valuation, and I hate to bring up Pokemon Go again, but you know, Nintendo's
valuation. Do you really hate it?
I do.
Bring it up.
Well, I don't hate to, but I don't want to drive it home too much. But the billions of dollars in Nintendo's valuation is not coming from the amount of money people are spending to ramp up the game, because they're spending, you know, what, a couple million bucks a day is what they're bringing in. That's not enough to bring $14 billion in new revenue. The real value there is that player list, the fact that there's more people that use it yesterday than use Twitter. And so if we can find a way to monetize that information.
Oh, that's coming. It's just like the...
It is. We're watching it evolve right in front of us.
It's all those... What other games can evolve from that? Because, you know, what was it?
Zynga. That's where you're going with that.
Well, I'm going back to the first Nintendo game, the dude little bouncing guy along.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, Mario. That's kind of it. So you develop all that customer base, and then you start with other variation of games. And, yeah, that other thing that you mentioned is those fantasy games can kind of, you're kind of going into that world with that. So, I there's a lot that can evolve from this. This is taking gaming and video gaming and streaming all to a whole nother place.
But that comes into our business too, because what if one day you decided I'm not doing this anymore, or maybe you got terminal cancer or something happened to you. The real value of your business in most people's mind is, well, how much money does Gregory Ricks and Associates have in the bank? But from the standpoint of what we're talking about here from these lists, I think the even bigger value would be your clients and the information on your clients. How much would another financial advice firm be willing to pay for the information to have the database on your clients? Just their contact information, just their name, and without knowing how much money they have invested or what the investments are or how much money that they've been turning over or taking out of their accounts. Just name an email or name and phone number. How much would that be worth to another company?
to another financial firm. Remember, we have privacy rules and disclosures, so there's limitations on that. We just can't sell it all to Dollar Shave Club,
right?
You know, from that standpoint. But there's tremendous value in say what I've built and created, and I'm not alone in this. Others have helped me, and the confidence that the clients have is a part of this, and keeping that as well. But you add the other layer is what are we doing now? You know, over 11,000 people are listening to us right now. So, and that keeps growing, and that does not include our digital audience. That's just the terrestrial that's kind of being counted. Anytime we typically get on the mic here in this metro area of New Orleans, we have that many people listening, and it grows every year. And I still don't have the digital numbers, which is huge.
All right, let's get into the RNC. The Republican National Convention was held this week in Cleveland. The nominee was made official. Donald Trump is going to be their standard bearer for the 2016 election. Sort of disappointed because there was almost no mention of monetary policy, and not just because I do this show. First and foremost, I was watching so I'd have something to talk about on the show. They gave me nothing, but even if it's just an individual Parker walking around, no matter what job I would do, I think I would be disappointed in how little they talked about balancing the budget or what they're going to do about inflation or a stable currency, quantitative easing, the Fed interest rates. There was almost no mention of any of that, monetary policy or fiscal issues, the whole week.
You know, and they talked about Donald Trump basically said, you know, basically was referred to as being very dark and a dark take on things. There's a lot of problems out there. And then the current president, Obama, said he's quite a bit mistaken. Things aren't like that. And then, I recorded it and not have been able to listen to his full speech. I had other things going on late that evening. But on last night's show, I basically presented my take on the dark clouds, and it has to do with debt, Social Security, a disability trust fund, health care costs. I think he touched on health care as well, and how that's increasing there. We have financial instability globally. We have negative interest rates. We've got the Fed not wanting to raise interest rates. People aren't saving and preparing for retirement. And everybody I talk to, I feel it's most people have real doubts about Social Security being there for them. Even though I give them the answers of how and why, and most of that was not addressed. And you know why, James? Because I'm sure they've had our friend Frank Luntz and others tell them this is not what they're wanting to hear. They're wanting to hear about the police being killed. They're wanting to hear about terrorism and all these other topics that was covered because they know you're not ever fixing the money side.
How the RNC could affect your money coming up next. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.
Because you need me alone. Pull this truck to the side of the road. Slide on over. Let me hold you close and tell you everything.
Welcome back to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, and James Parker, co-host, is here. If you're thinking about a financial situation and not sure what to do, the phone number is 504-260-0995. Hey, during the week, business hours at Gregory Ricks and Associates, if you have that same thing pop up or, hey, I want to come in and talk some, phone number is 504-832-9200. If you can't remember that, you know GregoryRicks.com and how to get there. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go to Facebook and like us. You can connect to us on Twitter, Snapchat. I don't know. What's that pin thing that got you?
Pinterest?
Yeah, we're on Pinterest too. I'm not seeing many connections on that.
We're not allowed on Pinterest. We're dudes.
have a Pinterest account.
Pinterest is dominated by the ladies. They love
as
it.
As well, but I think Stacy manages my Pinterest account.
She would have to. They wouldn't. They don't let
she
you on.
She would, because she's the one that set it up.
I only have a Pinterest account so I can follow the redhead around. The hot redhead puts stuff she loves up there, and so when it's time for a birthday or Christmas to roll around, that's how I pick out her gifts a lot of times, because I know what's in her fantasy dream world from Pinterest. Hey, and you didn't tell me they're giving away a free iPad at the booth in Slidell today.
Oh, does that mean after the show you're headed over there to register?
Am I eligible? Because I'll drive over there. I could use another iPad. Maybe our Periscope will quit crashing if we had a new machine to run it. But yeah, they're out at the Senior Living Magazine 55 and Up Expo today until 4 o'clock at the North Shore Harbor Center in Slidell. Free iPad, huh? Oh, and you can score some free pins, too. That's worth the trip.
I hear it's a pretty cool event. There's some food vendors there. I don't know about giving away food and stuff, but there's a car show as well.
I'm surprised you're not there.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of hike, and I'm kind of working today, so.
All right, here's the picture of your booth. Now, if you slide it this way a little bit, what's this little step-up banner over here? Who's that for? Who's that guy? Who's that little guy? Is that for Mortgage Gumbo? Is that our buddy next door?
And I believe Wes Blanchard is there.
Is he on the other side?
Well, not sure about that, but I was told he was there as well. He's the estate planning attorney, partner of the Total Wealth Authority. And Dwayne Stein, which has his show at 1 o'clock, he has a booth there.
I think this
and
might
he,
be.
He has some of his team people as well there.
That might be Wes. That might be Wes's stuff on the right side. Well, we're just dominating conferences these days and conventions. Cool.
And expos.
All right, let's get into the RNC, how it could affect your money.
Yeah. Oh, so, you know, that, did I mention, there's one other dark cloud financially, that $100 trillion-plus in unfunded liabilities. The national debt of $19 trillion. You want me to go on?
Well, they
stop.
He talked about that in detail. Oh, no, wait, no, he didn't. They didn't say anything about that. That for me, that's the most pressing issue, and this is why I'm disgusted with both parties. At least the Republicans used to pay lip service to being fiscally conservative. Now no one gives a rip about balancing the budget or unfunded liabilities. It's just whatever's in the news.
Everyone, other priorities have jumped ahead, and he had an extensive list that he covered, and of course, Obama and some of the others said, you know, we're just not seeing it this way. Now, I was listening to one of the shows, and I already knew this, but it just reminded me of, you know, when Obama said, oh, we're just not seeing that. We have terrorist events happening a couple times a week globally. We've got policemen being shot, crime rampant. Some statistical comparisons might not show that, but if I have a sense of it, it's too much. But I was talking to Stacy last night, and I said, well, you know, I was reminded of this the other day. He gets intelligence briefings every day, and past presidents, and Obama included, what turns gray on them the longer they're in office?
Wait, that
their hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're stressed. They get to see all the ugly stuff. And I think his philosophy is sugarcoat it, not show it, but to see those briefings and all this stuff going on, and they don't discuss all the stuff they stop from happening. But they see the statistics. They got to deal with the people that are being killed. They send troops. They send Delta Force teams and Secret Service agents and CIA, and they don't always come back. That's why they've got boards up there. They don't put their names, but they put stars for CIA agents that don't come back. And they deal with all this and the stand up, and everything's looking really good. I understand he's putting that front and they're not going to tell us all, but don't go sugarcoat it like that and say, look, everything's rosy. There's no problems. And I know, and it would probably scare the bejeebies out of us if we knew really what was going on in that detail.
All right. If you have any comments you want to throw in the mix, you can do it. JR New Orleans did 504-260-0995. What's up, JR?
Good morning, or almost good afternoon. Yeah, it weirded me out. The Republicans had the had a focus on the economy, and the only thing they talked about was throwing Hillary Clinton in jail. It was like watching one of those Banana Republics. But the thing that really creeped me out was Trump touching his daughter's butt on stage. I mean, he's already said it. she looks like a girl he would want to date. And I just think that guy is just, he's just, he's got a screw missing. I mean, he was born into a lot of money and, you know, and owned what, real estate in Manhattan, and then he claims to be a great businessman. Like, any moron who inherits millions of dollars and owns real estate in Manhattan could be a millionaire, a billionaire right now. I mean, he's just a self-promoter. He's really dangerous.
Well, I got to give him a little bit of credit, because there's most people who inherit millions of dollars end up blowing it all and not maintaining it. The generational wealth of preservation is almost non-existent. Two generations down from a billionaire, they're usually almost destitute. So, I mean, I'll give him a little bit of credit, but just focusing on the issues here, the daughter thing is kind of creepy, I admit. But
I don't know. He just put it, I just saw him put his hands on her hips and then walked off after the brief discussion.
Getting a morality lesson from a guy that, you know, cheating on one wife and then cheating on another wife.
Hey, I didn't hear any morality lessons. I don't think he was castigating anything about adultery.
Neither side. We're not going to go into this here, because then you open up a can of worms on the other side if you're getting into morality there. But look, he is a businessman that, you know, took a couple hundred million dollar company that his dad built, and I'm not sure on that number, but we know Trump turned it into being a billionaire. He could have just been a rich kid and went on his way, and it looks like he's got a great bunch of kids himself that run businesses and speak very well, so I think he's represented very well. We're going to get to hear the other side this week as well, but you know what, both have closets that don't look very good at this time. Goes on both sides.
Yeah, the other thing with Trump, I mean, he's touting up the military and stuff, and you know, that guy dodged the draft. He was saying he dodged the draft during Vietnam. He said, "Oh, I can't go. I got a bad knee." And then he played college basketball the next year. I mean, that's just, to me, it's a spoiled rich kid. You know, it's not my.
None of that is the reason I vote for or against anyone. Whether or not, dude, I would have dodged the draft too. Are you kidding me? I'm not. I don't want to get shot at. Here's what concerns me about Trump.
We give Muhammad Ali a pass on that,
yeah,
as well, and a lot of others. So, that's a dark time.
It doesn't affect my money whether or not he dodged the draft. Yeah. It affects my money and it affects my neighbors, the fact that he's against free trade agreements, kind of like Hillary is. And it affects all of us if Social Security collapses. It affects all of us every year that we have a $1 trillion deficit and they have to monetize a big chunk of that. And we have to hand that bill off to our kids while we're simultaneously paying the bills that our grandparents and parents left us. That's what I'm worried about. I don't care if he was playing basketball in 1970 or whatever, dodging drafts or touching his daughter's butt. I have problems with this guy based on issues, because a guy that's attracted to his daughter that's a capitalist is better than the guy who doesn't have a daughter issue and he's a socialist, in my view. That's none of these are reasons to vote for or against any junior, except for this fiscal stuff. This is what I'm worried about.
It's a strange moral compass you have there when you say you don't care if somebody dodges the draft. You think they should be the president.
Well, look, I'm not picking someone to host a dinner party or to date my daughter. I want to pick someone to balance the budget. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for first and foremost. And I have neither side saying anything that makes me think that they even care about balancing the budget. I have both sides saying bad things about free trade, something I support. None of them are touching entitlements, which is going to come due about the time I want to retire. So, I mean, your stuff sounds... No offense, JR. I'm glad you listened to the show, and I'm super glad you called in. That sounds like some petty, trifling way to pick a president of the free world.
Well, then let's shift to the other side. Somebody did a whole bunch of emails with classified information and then actually lied about doing it. And then we can go to Benghazi. So I don't know that she could pass a security clearance to work at Kmart, for that matter. So... You know, look, this is both sides, and everybody's got to absorb this and take this in. And they're definitely, closets are pretty full of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and we all dislike some aspects of all of it. And I'll tell you this, I had to eat words going back a year ago, and there was a family discussion I was in, and I really like to avoid those, but... I was clearly took the position that Trump is not electable, that there's no way he's winning primaries and stuff. And I was 100% wrong. And at this point, he is clearly electable. He has a chance to win this thing. And I thought And I could tell you that I also thought Hillary was not electable. They're pretty much even right now, so it's long ways to go and a short time to get there.
And there's a reason we stick with financial talk for the most part.
Not making any prediction ever. We'll just talk about it. Relating to money.
I appreciate the call, JR. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Having a record year. Welcome back to Winning at Life. That's one of my new favorite ones. I hadn't quite learned all the lyrics to it, but it's good. Good little story there, and he's talking about vinyl there in it. This is Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Sometimes I fall into the music side. And yeah, I'm a regular listener to WNOE, one of the iHeartRadio stations, and I like listening to my favorites on the iHeartRadio app. You can download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, and it links you to that. If you have a financial question, we've got a lot of great calls today, so keep them coming in. That number is 504-260-0995.
And didn't we have a Smoot Hawley tariff reference on the show this week? Am I thinking of our show, or was that my morning show that
okay,
I did?
Okay, explain that to me.
Okay, because it was in the discussion. I forgot who I was talking to, but I guess it was on my show. The free trade discussion. Hillary's now against NAFTA, even though her husband pushed for it, signed it, campaigned for it, but she's against it now. And so I thought this would be a great chance for the Republican Party to show that they have free market, free enterprise principles, and say, no, free trade largely, you know, not all of these agreements are perfect, but overall we support free trade. And you got Trump out there going, saying, talking against free trade. NAFTA was horrible, and if anybody messes with us, I'm going to jack up tariffs. Those are protectionist tariffs. That's exactly what Herbert Hoover did when he became president at the beginning of the Great Depression, when the stock market crashed and they were worried about jobs going overseas or being able to compete on the world stage. Herbert Hoover passed the Smoot-Hawley Tariffs Act, which jacked up tariffs on so many of our imports. And that's one of the things that accelerated the downward slide into the Depression, according to most economists in history. So this sounded very Smoot-Hawley coming out of Trump. And I thought that was very disappointing because the Republicans are supposed to be the alternatives to the protectionist tariff tendencies of the Democrats. And here's this guy who's not. He's no different than Hillary on this issue. What do you think about that? NAFTA, free trade in general?
Trump has been on that step throughout his whole campaign. I think he's adjusted it some. I don't think you go in there and rip it up, but I think all of it's a part, and that's where somebody had pointed out on one of the shows I'd watched not long ago that was speaking from his organization is what he said. All those were designed to be relooked at and reevaluated and tweaked like any other contract. You know, when I was asked to do Winning at Life live on Saturday mornings over 6 years ago, I can tell you what, our contract has been redone a few times over the years, and I think those things should be looked at, because you can't go in and say, yeah, this is the most perfect thing we've ever done as a country, and it's really worked out so well, and I'm one for free trade, but I don't think this has worked out so well. Now, from Trump's side, yeah, I think stuff should be relooked at, and I think we should have a quality team of negotiators. And if there's one guy that knows how to negotiate a deal, you ought to go back and read his book, Art of the Deal. The dude is shrewd and understands about negotiating a deal. And I'd say myself, I'm pretty good at it too. You might be over your head if you're getting into a negotiation with me. Now go to the Hillary side is, you know, she somewhere seems to be presented to be in the middle. And then the burn started beating her in a lot of primaries, and next thing you know, she's moved to the left and picked up a lot of stuff and got his endorsement and everything. And now it comes out all these emails that were leaked, and it looks like, you know, they were fixing to drag him through the coals if that had kept going the wrong direction. And now she moves somewhere back towards the middle with her vice presidential candidate. And now she sees that, oh, yeah, I kind of need to be against this free trade thing because that seems to be working for them over there. That's my take, is this moving, and I don't see Trump moving off of where he's at. Can we just get him to stick to the message is what I'm hearing out there. You know, you know, you have a script, kind of stick to it. When he goes off the reservation, just like beating up on an ex-competitor yesterday, and I heard Stacy comment, she says, why did you do that? Just move on. You have bigger fish to fry. So it's just funny stuff. This is going to be so interesting.
This is going to be the funnest election. But do you understand my frustration? The issues that where the Republicans and Democrats have stark contrast are the issues I just don't care about. You know, countries don't collapse because transgender people can't choose their bathroom or get a wedding cake. Oh, they yeah. collapse from fiscal or military domination or collapse. And
well, I was thinking, I said, well, it sounds like we might have a shot at the NBA All-Star game since North Carolina's kind of blown that up. But yeah, like, is that what our focus needs to be?
No, don't get me started on that. Hey,
And we can't. That's not our thing here. But, you know, it's just kind of, yeah, we've got more important things to talk about.
And in those important things, there's no difference almost between Trump and Hillary when it comes to trade, when it comes to balancing the budget, when it comes to how they're going to deal with the Fed, monetary policy, the things that I care about. They have the same take on both of them.
We just need, I know we've got all these other problems fixed, but we need to have fiscal responsibility and fix these financial bills that are coming due that are way more than we can handle.
All right, you're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 504-260-0995. Susie and Metri, you're up next. How can we help you, Susie?
Susie?
Yes.
Hey, there you are.
Welcome to the show.
Okay, my question is, what are Louisiana state laws on how an IRS is to be divided when you're going to get a divorce?
IRA?
IRA, yes.
Okay.
If it was it's community property.
You've got 4 minutes here.
And
I know
a divorce,
it's a big one.
It really comes down to its community property. Everything is community property.
Okay, so we were married the first time 15 years, and then we divorced, and then we remarried, and now we're married 6 years, and we will be divorcing at the end of this year.
So this is the second time around divorce?
Yes.
From the both times?
Well, now we have some questions to ask on what's going to happen with the IRA.
Did you do a property settlement after the first one?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a property settlement after the first
Not
divorce.
Anything to do with retirement.
How did that escape the process?
Because I was young and stupid and didn't know that I could even get half of the retirement, and no one told me.
So now you got a second chance at life here. Well, let me ask you this. When are y'all going to get married for the third time? Because that might change what we do with the IRA.
After I go after his money, I probably don't think there'll be a third time.
Well, how else is he going to get it back?
She's not going to do this dance a third time. Twice is enough. My take, without knowing any details, and remember, we're a financial show, not a legal show. I do have Wes Blanchard at my office that is a estate planning attorney and knows these rules. You could have a conversation with him, but you might want to deal with somebody that, and I think you have. I think you and I may have spoke before. With that said,
I've never spoke to you before.
I've had this similar conversation with somebody also before, which is unique. And here's my advice to her, and you are the same thing, is just knowing is everything's on the table until you're told it's not, for a legal reason that it's not. So my expectation for you and looking out for you would be, yeah, you need to get your half of everything. It doesn't mean you get half of the retirement funds. That half may be represented somewhere else. Remember, retirement funds are taxable funds. I'd rather you get that half on after-tax dollars. But you've got real estate. Everything is at play because this is a community property state.
Now, is it everything in the IRA or just the part that when she was married and what was accumulated during that period the second time?
They've got two marriages, and there doesn't seem to be equitable distribution that last time.
So what kind of an attorney should I, because I haven't hired an attorney yet, so the way you're talking about finances and everything, it seems like there's specific attorneys that deal with that?
Well, I would talk with somebody that specializes in divorces. They need to know the ropes around that completely. That's different from estate planning. That's different from litigation. It's different from offshore lawsuits, and it's darn sure different from auto accidents. So I would look for somebody that specializes in that. I would interview more than one to make sure you're comfortable and they're going to look out for you. They need to have a bias towards looking out for women.
So just I looked in the phone book and I saw a lot of family law. Would that be family law?
But treat this like a job interview, like he was saying. You know, call, get their resumes, interview them, go through a decision process.
Call my office on Monday and I'll give you a couple references.
All right, Susie, that phone number is 504-832-9200. Tell you what, Angie, just put her on hold. We'll talk to her on the break real quick. In fact, here, I'll do that. All right, we'll talk to you on the break there. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You're listening to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and Retirement Authority. James Parker, co-host, is here with me. We're live here for this next hour. Then we're handing it off to Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo. He is the mortgage guru, the ninja of mortgages, and knows how to get things. I kind of call him the eagle of that business. So he follows us, and he's a member of our Total Wealth Authority as well.
All right. We still got to cover what was said at the RNC that could affect your money. I want to hear some of these IRA rollover rules and pitfalls. I love the stories about how people find new, creative, innovative ways to destroy their retirement. Not because I enjoy the destruction, but I know people can benefit from it. What happened there? Oh, we just started over? All right, start the show over. All right, welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory
Ricks. That's like the cell phone going off at one of my
meetings. All right, got to start over at the beginning. Let's go back to the comment cards.
Yeah, hey, just clear. I know we've talked on the previous 2 hours, we've gotten into some conversation there, and there's a little bit of political take, but it's about what's going to happen to our money, the government debt, the spending, the health costs, all things that affect us financially. So we'll allow a little bit of leeway, and heck, we can have some fun with it too, but we do have to talk about IRAs, Social Security, and what else we have on our plate.
Well, I just want to remind folks, if you're bouncing around on the North Shore in the Slidell area, you can go to our booth at the Senior Living Magazine 55 and Up Expo. It's today only until 4 o'clock at the North Shore Harbor Center in Slidell. Ashley's out there at our booth, sent in another picture. Look at this crowd. We got a popular booth there. And I don't think all of this is just for the iPad giveaway. I think someone are genuinely interested in the services we provide. Oh, and look, that is Wes next to it. No, and that's Dignity Memorial next to us. That wasn't Wes.
Wow, we're slammed.
Yeah. There.
Look at that.
See, and I like what Nicholas has done. He's rocking the suit and dress shirt, but no tie. So that's weekend formal, I think is what we call that.
Well, actually, he asked me about that yesterday. How should it be in a suit or whatever? And I said I would wear a pair of casual slacks and one of our golf shirts with our logo on it. But then he throws the blazer on as well, so, you know.
He's a fashion-conscious guy, isn't he?
He is, and I'm fine with that, but I said it's fine to have the casual look. It's an expo, I think. The dress shirt and tie had been, like, too much. So, but whatever you're comfortable, Nick, is what I finished. Whatever you're comfortable, it's fine.
But Nick's so cool, he can wear the skinny ties And they keep getting skinnier and skinnier throughout the years. At the last event we had, he was wearing dental floss. He had tied some floss around his neck and was hanging that. I would look stupid if I did that. It looks cool on Nick. Ann in Baton Rouge, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory.
And he had a tie clip on it.
Yeah, right. Hold it in place. How can we help you, Ann?
Hi. If I can bend your ear for a couple of minutes. I know that I've heard you speak a lot about Mr. Trump's idea of fiscal and what he can bring to the table for our United States, especially Louisiana. We're about the same age, himself and myself. His side of real estate, my side of real estate. In Louisiana, for me, I was one of the top inspectors for Troy Nichols Mortgage before they were bought out by Chase, by Eustace Mortgage and such. I've been in mortgage since 1984. So this isn't for Mr. Stein. This is on a general idea for all of the listeners to hear this point of view. This man has been able to build something that you, myself, and pretty much 99.9% of Louisianans would never be able to do, and that's built structures in other countries. You know, we're a very welcoming country that we can build, open a business here, and there not be that much regulations as much as they're exaggerating on television about. But if you're an American and you want to build something in another country, as many countries that he's built these structures in, you got to wonder, how did he get that done? Well, it wasn't just money. He had to learn about these countries before he even decided to put a business or a building in those countries. So on foreign policy and foreign affairs, I'd say the man's got some kind of experience to be able to step into their country and build something that produces an income and also employs people, not just Americans, but employs people from around the world. So if I had the money, or I put up a GoFunding account, I'd certainly grab my little handy cam, and I'd want to go to each of the hotels that he's built around the world and see how he practices what he preaches. But on that side, I give him kudos for his experience. I give him kudos for achieving something that I was never able to do in 30-something years of experience I have in mortgage and real estate, because I was certainly squashed. And I was squashed plenty of times by HUD, by FHA, by Fannie Mae, by Freddie Mac, and most recently by all of this loan modification stuff that's going on. That's what I do for a living now, because my income can't be made by what I originally went to school for. And being an underwriter approved by the Mortgage Bankers Association in Washington, D.C. has not brought me the type of income I expected for how much money it costs to have this education.
Wow, good take on things. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And that's one of the things that where people refer to him, and he is an outsider as politics and Washington, D.C. goes, but there's something said for somebody that can navigate the waters of New York City and the unions and everything up there, as well as I have a client that had recently spent time at one of his resorts in Ireland, of all places. I didn't even know he had one there.
And Scotland.
And actually, Donald Trump Jr. was there. And she actually was able to sit down and have a conversation with him later that evening while she was there at that resort that week. But that's where it's, well, he's an outsider. Well, I'll throw the other way in here. Most people that we've had as presidents and such, George W. Bush was not a career politician. He was in the oil. He owned the baseball team. He did some other things. So it wasn't a career for him. I kind of like the take on somebody that's really great at business globally having a shot at this, because when I go back to Hillary's, never had a job outside of working at, I guess, a law firm in the early days and otherwise been in government. I don't know that Bill Clinton ever had a job outside of government. I don't know that Obama's ever had a job outside of government in some way, because what I think is, I think they all should have to have some sort of outside private experience. Clinton's had never ever bought a home until after Bill got out of office, if that tells you something. He's never experienced buying a home, making payments, and dealing with all that. So in one sense, how do they relate to the real world? So it's just a question. I would like to see something different. That's kind of my take. What I'm wanting is something different then.
Has it ever been published of how much the annual income for the President of the United States is in the last 5 years? Do we know what their annual income is? I thought at one time it was public record.
Yeah, it's definitely public record. Last time I checked, it was, I think, $400,000, $418,000.
That's what came to my mind. It's about $400,000.
$418,000. Okay, so after Obama gets out of office, does he continue to receive that $418,000 until the day he dies?
He gets a pension of some sort. I don't
think
it's the full $418,000.
It's like a couple $100,000
yeah.
from now in Secret Service detail, okay. the best health care there is. He's not on Obamacare.
But that's not going to be the money he makes. The money he makes is whatever board of directors he gets put on. Like Al Gore is on like four boards of directors, and I think he's on like Apple and a couple of his environmental ones, but corporations
his
here
memoir,
and there. Yeah, there's going to be no shortage
money.
Of money for any ex-president.
Tour.
But you're right as far as Trump goes. That is his forte. That is his strong point. That's the only reason he's really made it this far. But I would expect that business acumen, especially in the foreign sphere, to translate into better policy positions. Why, if he knows so much about foreign trade? Like you said, tons of credit goes from being able to build a building in China. Oh, my God, how do you do that? But why is he not for free trade? Why is he for these protectionist tariffs that would hurt people like him?
Well, that's really not for you to ask, because obviously, since he's been part of every type of product through Macy's, his own brand name and such like that, he's had to deal firsthand, face to face, with countries that obviously, even let's just take an example of one particular item. Let's just say his shirts. One item, not a multitude of items that he has, but let's say one shirt. Okay? One of my dear friends has her own textile company, and she's trying to pattern her own fabric and make her own type of product for children's clothes, okay, here in the state of Louisiana, which is far-fetched and hard to do. But it's only because her husband is a full-time employee for a national company related to oil and gas in Louisiana that she can afford to have this type of hobby, because it's costing more than it is, that it's not producing any income. Her take on trying to achieve just making a pattern on a textile to make children's clothes here in Louisiana meets her with nothing but wall after wall after wall, because she has to deal with other countries, because we don't make textiles here in America anymore. And that man, let's use that one example of a shirt, if this is what a Louisiana resident is trying to do to create her own company and have a name for herself, imagine this very wealthy man trying to make a shirt in America. And so when they jumped him and they ragged him about, oh, your shirts all come from China, what Americans and Louisiana people don't understand is that's because we don't get to make those shirts here in America anymore. You can have a T-shirt and you can get these kind of jersey shirts and stuff, but a high-quality fabric, a textile with a pattern or a color, cannot be made and cannot be achieved in America anymore, because those textile plants, and I can name county after county for you, in Alabama, I can name one of them for you right now, Carrollton, Alabama, Aliceville, Alabama. They were major Fruit of the Loom such textile plants there in those states. Those are now since gone. So as one particular item, on that, when they attack and say, well, Mr. Trump doesn't even have shirts made here in America, well, that's because he doesn't have a choice. There are no companies. So on somebody who has met face-to-face with, let's say, Chinese textile companies and stuff, he's noticed how they manipulate. He's obviously, for the sake of talking about free trade.
And we got it. Look, and we give him all the credit in the world for being able to deal with those other countries and do what other people can't. And I think we've said that a few times. We're not taking anything away from him on that level.
I'll tell you where I stand. I think we're at a huge disadvantage with China and the way it's been negotiated, and they're about cheating and stealing and copying. And here in Metairie, or Jefferson Parish, I can tell you that going back a few years, there's a high-end dress shirt company, nice quality shirts, the best quality cotton. When I want a start shirt, that was who I would go buy from. They made them here in Jefferson Parish. And like she said, I don't think any of those are made here in the States whatsoever.
That company's gone now? The Jefferson Parish one?
Yeah, it was bought out and left the country.
Well, I mean, they'll make them here. You just got to pay a whole lot for them. 504-260-0995. You can be next. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Welcome. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I am your co-host, James Parker. If you want to be a part of the show, you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Email us, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. You can send us a text a couple of ways via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app or on the chat box at GregoryRicks.com.
Or if you have a drone and want to tag a note to it, fly it by the station here in CBD. As long as you have plain line of sight, we don't want you to get in trouble, but fly the drone by with a note.
Yeah, and you can just hover it outside the third floor window here on Howard Avenue in the iHeartMedia Palace, and we'll
make
answer
sure
your
you
question.
Make sure you file your flight plan first. We don't want you to get in trouble.
We have a booth at the Senior Living Magazine 55 and Up Expo going on right now at the North Shore Harbor Center in Slidell until 4 o'clock. So if you're in the area, stop by, say hi to the crew. We'd love to hear from you. And plus, it really inflates our ego. And so, yeah, listen to the show all the time. We love hearing that stuff because we're very fragile people at heart. But let's get into some of the stuff we were talking about on the weekday version of the show. Now, Winning It Life, the weekday version, is from 7 to 8. And we take a look and we wrap up what happened in the market that day. But then we also sprinkle in some more lessons and stories and client issues. And we help callers with some financial guidance. One of the fun issues we were dealing with this week was problems that can arise with your IRA rollover. You want to take your existing IRA, maybe take some money out of it, maybe put it in another IRA, do something with it. You got to be careful, because we have so many stories about people who have found great, innovative, creative ways to ruin their entire financial life with an IRA rollover.
You know, sometimes there's been times in the past where I've gotten questions about that 60-day rollover rule. Like, somebody will ask me, "What? I heard I could take some of that money out for up to 60 days. Because they're talking to me about something they're needing some cash short-term for. And I said, well, you know, I had told somebody, said I could do that. How does that work? And I said, I'm really troubled to have that discussion with you, because it's almost coaching you how to do it, but you're not supposed to do it. And what we had in the past, this was changed January of last year, because a case that we covered extensively, a couple was kiting their IRAs. They had taken money out of one for a 60-day rollover rule, because you used to could do it per account. And then they would take one out of the next and put that money back in the other one. And they were doing this with multiple accounts, and then all of a sudden they messed it up and missed one of the rollovers, and they received a letter down the road from the IRS. And they fought it and went to tax court over it. And the tax court ruled that the IRS had actually, from the tax court's perspective, is the IRS had not clearly defined how the rule works. And the tax court said it's aggregate of all IRA accounts. Once every 365 days, you can do a 60-day rollover. And so that's one of the questions we always ask. If somebody is going to do a 60-day rollover, one of the questions we ask is, when did you last do one? We have to know that. And if there was one within the past 365 days, they cannot do that. And you shouldn't be doing it anyhow. You should be doing a custodian-to-custodian rollover, because you're not supposed to make use of that money. But sometimes people do. That's why they do it, is, oh, I need this $10,000 for a few weeks, and I've got money coming in, and then I'll get it back in. And what happens when they do that, it doesn't always time out. Had a story last year of a gentleman that did that, and he was offshore, and it just like hit him in the middle of one night, and like, oh, I'm missing that date. I'm going to be beyond 60 days when I go back in. And this was a serious, this was like $250,000 he had pulled out of the account and not put back in. Talking about a tax bill plus his income. So, you know, his AGI was really pushed up there. And he is also not 59 and a half. And he came in to talk to me about how can I fix this? The answer was you can't fix it. But what you could have done if you were still a business day ahead of this, said, yeah, you could have called the bank, tell them to cancel the check as if it never happened. But, you know, he didn't think of that. But it didn't matter once you were over 60 days. And people are doing that. And since the rule changed, and a lot of people think you can still do it multiple times or do a 60-day rollover for every account that you have, and you can't. It's only once, and they consider all of the IRA's account when it and one account when it comes down to this. So somebody playing games with it, another example of ruining it for everybody. And something else they changed last year they changed that this year. Where's that at? Find that. Private letter rulings. They're now $10,000 each time you want a private letter ruling. Here it is. Effective February 1 of this year, the IRS private letter ruling fees for all 60-day rollover rulings and for late Roth recharacterization rulings are going to be $10,000.
All right, you might want to explain what a private letter ruling is. I think we had to do that on the show this week.
Yeah, it's basically when you go to the IRS and ask for an extension or ask for your take on the ruling. Here, this is what I did. I want you to look at it. It wasn't my fault. It was James Parker's fault. He was holding on to the check and wouldn't give it back. You know, whatever it is, they're coming up with some reasoning of why they couldn't do it.
Sort of like a challenge or an appeal process.
Yeah, it's kind of an appeal. The law is automatic. There's no gray area or anything. That's the rule. Then they come up and blame. And if you could blame it on your financial institution or firm and that gets it done, you could get a waiver on that. But now, because there's so many, it used to be as low as $500 to get a PLR ruling. So knowing how many mistakes, now they're getting flooded with it because of the new aggregate rule of once per 365 days. Now they've got ridiculous amount. One way to put the brakes on all those requests or rulings.
Charge 10 grand.
Charge 10 grand. And that doesn't include your attorney fee. That's what you got to pay the IRS to get them to look at it.
So you better mean it.
Yeah, it better be a big account. One of the examples I gave here was a taxpayer that left her job and elected to receive a lump sum payment from her company plan. The distribution was paid to her from the company plan, and 20% was withheld for taxes. She deposited the funds into her checking account. She requested an extension of the 60-day rollover, claiming that her failure to complete the timely rollover was due to her being unaware of her option to roll over the funds and her need to possibly use the funds for repairs of the home. The IRS denied the 60-day rollover extension. They said, although the taxpayer initially represented that the funds were not used for any other purposes, in the later letter submitted to the IRS, she indicated she withheld the funds for possible extensive repairs to her home. So first letter, she basically said, yeah, I was unaware of the rollover rule. That could have possibly helped her out, but then she alluded to needing it, which I think what she knew, she could have rolled it over, but she says, hey, I can take it out for 60 days, use it, and put it back. She just didn't get it back in time. And basically what it came down to, it made it easy for the IRS because the use test is failed. The taxpayer in the PLR did not actually use the funds for home repairs. However, the evidence that her failure to roll over was due to her holding on to the funds beyond 60-day period for the possible repairs of her home was enough for the IRS to fail her on the use test. Right there. That's it. That made it cut and dry. Use test. You were making personal use of the money, and we're not helping you out. You owe us taxes.
Just thinks if she had left that sentence out, she would have got a favorable ruling.
Well, there was probably more requested because they were hunting for more information. They probably wasn't going to just say, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, you didn't know, you're forgiven. It's not that easy, but it all seems to come out, and they're pretty sure, yeah, you messed up somewhere. Let's see what else we can uncover.
All right, more on this. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or you can email us, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. You can get a copy of Form ADV by calling the office, 504-832-9200. You can get an appointment to come into the office by calling 504-832-9200 or go to GregoryRicks.com. If you have a financial question and not sure what to do, you can call us up during the show today. Weeknights at 7 on the Daily Wrap. It's 504-260-0995. You can email me, Gregory at Gregory Ricks, or you can do like Steven did. He downloaded the app, and he sent over a question, James.
Welcome to the show, Steven. Glad you got the app. How can we help
you? Yeah, just go to your app store and do a search for Gregory Ricks. Download the app. Links you to the show and a lot of other things that we do. He says, I can't find you on Periscope. James, weren't we having some technical difficulty?
Periscope was only staying up for about 11 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, 9 minutes. We did about 6 Periscope feeds, and they all died on the vine, so we stopped doing it today.
Yeah, it's not working. I was calling out the fiber optic crews, and can we just run a line to Periscope headquarters and hook directly in? James said, well, we don't have time for that today.
Yeah, we'll do that next week, maybe. Sorry about
that. You like that take.
Yeah, well, and if you want to find me, it's the same as my Twitter connection. It's at James Parker Show. But I imagine we'll be switching that over to either at Gregory Ricks or at Winning It Life or at something that's more specific to this show. But, I mean, I can put it up if you want. It'll be dead in 6 minutes.
Well, we've got not long left. If you're up to it, give it a try for the Periscope viewers.
All right, I'll give it a try.
It's your call. It's your call.
I'll do something.
That means you've got to do a couple.
You know what? If he's going to go to the trouble of actually texting in and asking, I'll put it up again.
Okay.
Winning at Life.
Let's see. There was one more private letter ruling I was going to discuss. Let's see. Which one did I last night? I thought was a good one. But that use test is the thing. And here's, you could do it and make use of it and never get caught. But then you know, maybe a bad example, but you know, like some dude robbing a bank. Well, yeah, I robbed a bank. Hey, it went pretty good. Didn't even know I was there. I got the money and left.
Went pretty
Nobody's
good.
Nobody's looking for me.
That sounds so funny in your casual accent. Yeah, I robbed the bank. Went pretty good.
Yeah, and then he's sitting around thinking, God, I could use another 25 grand. So he goes, does it again. There was a story, and they called it the Corvette bank robber. The dude like was into Corvettes and stuff, but he is a bank robber, and they caught him around here several years back. But he had done it for years, and he had been even in prison before for doing it. But he had robbed a whole bunch of banks, but one day it came to an end.
How'd he get caught?
Robbing a bank.
Okay.
That's, and actually, I don't think it was caught. They just figured it out and found him.
Okay.
Just, everything led to him at that point. So it was going pretty good up until it didn't. Well, that's just like the real estate thing. And there's not anything wrong with doing a 60-day rollover, but like that use test could catch you up, or you do it enough and you miss that deposit by a day and you think, okay, it's going to be fine. I'm going to put it back in. What you don't understand is there's reporting behind the scenes. There's a form that when you take money out of an IRA directly to you, the IRS is notified. When you put money back in an IRA account or a contribution or deposit or rollover or putting it back in for the 60-day, there's a notice that goes out to the IRS, and they put it all together. It's a thing they do because they know so much at stake, how much money out there is tucked away, pre-tax, growing tax deferred. So if you slip up, you're getting a bill.
I imagine they know it. A computer algorithm that puts that together, so there's no mistakes, right?
And the people just, I'm only 2 days late. Let me shove it in there. Well, you not only are going to get a tax bill, you're probably figuring out, this is going well. I got away with it. I didn't get a bill the next year. That bill could come 2 or 3 years later once they connect all the dots, like the Corvette bank robber. And then you're getting taxed late penalties from the time that it was found to be and prohibited, or you missed the deadline. It became a taxable event on that date. But then you did put it back in. Now you're getting a 6% penalty on overfunding the IRA, because the most you can contribute to an IRA if you're under age 50 is $5,500. You have a $1,000 catch up if you're over age 50. So then you're going to get a 6% penalty for the excess over that period of time that you thought you got away until the letter. And now it's going to be expensive to challenge it. And let's see, where is that one I liked from last night? I think it's right here. And this has to do with a plan loan was not rolled over. And I've seen these situations happen where people come in and tell me the story of what happened. Like one dude buying a car with a loan from his 401k. Here's a story. An employee took a loan from her company plan and was repaying it through payroll deductions. She left her job and the payroll deduction loan repayment stopped, but she continued the loan repayments through her automatic monthly transfers from her joint checking account with her husband. Because of suspected fraud on the joint account, the bank froze the funds, stopping the payments. The problem was later resolved by the automatic monthly loan repayment transfers. Let's see. Yeah, the problem was later resolved, so they didn't have the frozen account, but the automatic monthly loan repayments did not continue, and she said she didn't realize the loan repayments had stopped. Guess she didn't check her monthly statements. She received a letter from the company plan financial institution stating that her loan was in default and the outstanding loan balance would be treated as a distribution from the plan. The letter also said the deemed distribution was eligible to be rolled over. She said she never received the letters or emails from the company advising her of the default and tax consequences. The problem was not discovered until she received a 1099-R form for the distribution. That's what you've got to then put on your 1040. She said she had the money to pay off the loan if she had known it was in default and wanted to roll the distribution amount into her IRA to avoid the tax bill.
Too bad.
She claimed it was the financial institution's error, but the IRS did not buy the argument. And here was the ruling. Although taxpayer A represented that she did not receive communications from the financial institution A, she did provide copies of letters from the financial institution A notifying her of the pending default as well as the distribution upon default. Further, one letter stated the distribution was eligible for rollover. Also, monthly statements were received from financial institution B, both before the default and within the 60-day rollover period. Had she read those statements, she would have realized the automatic loan payments were not made. The information presented, documentation submitted by taxpayer A, do not support the assertion error of financial institution A. Further documentation submitted does not demonstrate the taxpayer that do not demonstrate that the taxpayer A failed to accomplish. She claims one thing, but she provides all this documentation that's an argument against her claim, which makes it easy for them to deny and say, yo, it's tax, back taxes.
But she had the money to fix it this whole time.
That's the point. And she had notification. All she had to do was give the money to the bank and then roll it over. And you really, and maybe she didn't want to do that because, you know, darn, now I don't have as much cash on hand. But what it saved was a bunch of tax money.
Okay, but let's pretend like I don't know you. I don't know Gregory Ricks. I'm just the same little stumbling around James that I was in 2010 before we met. And I was in this situation. Who do you even talk to guide you through that? I mean, do you... There's no phone book, but if do you Google, hey, who can walk me through a car loan via my qualified money? And
okay, you go to the bank. Who are you dealing with? A teller.
Some guy in a blue polo that was a barista last week.
Yeah. Are they a master elite advisor, IRA advisor? No. You don't know what. You just, hey, I just got out of college and I need a job. So, yeah, I'm cashing your checks for you. Oh, you got an IRA question? Did you read your statement? I don't know. You're not getting help there.
Right, but if I ask some of these other financial guys, they're like, excuse me, if it's not an annuity, I can't help you. If it's not a mutual fund, I can't help you. Like, how would a person like this, without knowing a Gregory Ricks, how does she even know, number one, that she needs help? And even if she does, where does she go to get it?
There's, when you're doing a transaction with your 401k, they're always going to typically, in some form, especially if you're doing a distribution or you're rolling it over to doing an IRA rollover from your plan, they're always going to ask, did you receive the 30-day IRS notice? And it's going to be a few pages of explaining all this stuff in small print. And she did receive disclosure somewhere, and the expectation is she read the document and would have understood clearly what all it said in dealing with IRA transactions. That's so how would she know? She would have needed to read the disclosures.
Oh, man, I don't read any of those.
Or you could just call Gregory.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I don't read my statements. I don't read a prospectus. I don't read the license agreement before I do an iTunes app download.
Just said I agree.
Yeah, heck yeah, I agree. Let me
I call
the damn
up
app.
A team of attorneys, you know.
Yeah, you do. Got the whole crew working on it. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. So when you get live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. See, this is the part of the show where it's like, all right, we got six things to talk about in one segment left. What do you want to do? So we start furiously throwing stuff in the trash.
I have 2 hours worth of material left here.
All right, well, tell Dwayne he's coming on at 3 o'clock then. Tell Rush he's getting the day off. This is more important anyway. Man, a couple things I wanted to talk about. Number one is, just because this affects so much of our audience and probably the guy listening, they have a rundown of 4 Jefferson Parish taxes that are going to be voted on this year. And I like it when they do it like this because the vote on these isn't going to be in the presidential election when all the, you know, the amateur mouth breathing voters show up. This is going to be on what would be the runoff election. December 10th is when these are going to be decided. So I love the low turnout elections. You know, people always talk about we need to get the voter turnout. No, we don't. We have better results when only the hardcore people who are paying attention go vote. We don't need all the casual, low-information voters screwing it up for the rest of us. And so this is the context in which we're going to be dealing with these taxes. And normal.
So what do you think? Somebody that sees a tax on a ballot and doesn't have any understanding of it, so what do they do? Just vote yes? Because I would vote no if I don't understand. I was like, I need a break, but there's no break here. I need an hour to read. I'll vote no.
What if you don't own a house? What do you care about property taxes?
Yeah, those dudes vote yes.
Okay, those people vote. So they have no incentive to not vote yes. But then they always have to put a pretty face on these taxes. So even the people that do own property and will be paying these taxes will think, well, I can't live without that. So the first one, drainage millage renewal. Well, we have to have drainage. So certainly we have to renew this millage here. You know, I would just say no. Say no. And then they'll have to come back and say, okay, well, we're going to have to fund our drainage somehow. Say, fine, do it with a smaller millage. Because they like to call it a renewal because it gives you the idea that, well, if you don't vote yes, then drainage is going to go away. No, it's not. It's not going to go away. How do you know you're not spending too much on it already? How do you know you need to spend this much? You know, property values have gone up. Revenue's gone up. So naturally, we should take a look at these taxes and make them lower. But you got to strike down the existing tax before you can get to a lower tax.
Yeah, and whose drainage are they fixing? Mine's okay, so what's the problem on the other side of town?
Yeah, granted, it does need regular upkeep and maintenance.
You know, and I'll say that, and probably some of you are saying, well, that's kind of selfish or whatever, but a lot of things that's voted for and passed in state legislature has to do with where the population is. And a lot of people in North Louisiana is like, what does that have to do with us? And sometimes things are hard to get done because New Orleans needs it. Nah, not from up here.
Yeah, right. Someone in Monroe cares very little about our drainage. Number two, the recreation millage renewal. This is 10 mils, only accessible in unincorporated areas of Jefferson Parish and the town of Jean Luffy. And that's for playgrounds, community centers, things like that. I have the same reaction to this. Convince me we can't survive on less. The next one I just want to eliminate altogether, the library millage renewal. Just get rid of that. No, public libraries, go away. Done. You know, we have no more VCRs being made. We should have no more public libraries. That's an obsolete, done technology. I know most people disagree with me, and I sound crazy to some people. Probably to you, too. But I'm just telling you how I feel about this.
Hey, I asked that question. Okay, why do we still need, or why do we need so many now? I think they just go there to go online now. Can we do that more efficient way?
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm thinking of, what's our efficiencies there? Are we doing this still like we did it 20, 30, 40 years ago, or are we doing this in a way that's more efficient? I don't ever see, and look, when I was a kid, I went to the library all the time. Why? It's full of books, and where else did I have access to books? There wasn't Books a Million. There wasn't Barnes and Nobles. There wasn't no internet. There's no streaming. I didn't have readers to download. When's the last time you've been to a library?
College. Oh, no, I take that back. My apartment, for just a minute, I lived across the street from a library. I got my library card, and I used to go out there and check out DVDs because they were for free.
I'm trying to think back.
12 years ago is what I'm talking about.
I'm thinking I'm at that or more since being in a actual library, because they open these retail libraries called Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that. And online, I go to those all. I can tell you what, I've gone to Barnes and Nobles a lot. And I still, when I have time, I don't mind going in there and putting my hands on books and looking at them, and may walk out with one or two there. Or I look on, or I hear about a book. I just go to Amazon and I want that book and I get it.
Look, I'm not against the Library of Congress. I'm not against maybe having one big city library downtown. But this idea that we have 20 different branches of the public library in all these neighborhoods, no, zero, zip, zop. Well, I'm glad you're at least soft on that one. That's not a hard yes or a hard no.
What we need to make sure is all kids have Wi-Fi access and go to school and have access to computers and all that's available to them today. That's where the focus should be.
Yeah, you have
and we
libraries
already
at
have
schools,
resources and stuff being done for that. Why? So, yeah, I'm like, why?
Well, another one I wanted to talk about, and we'll do this one longer, I guarantee you, either on Monday or Tuesday show. The discussion that this headline brings up is fantastic. Three reasons you'll spend more money at 40 than at 30. And it's talking about in general your 40s versus your 30s. And the reason this discussion is so important is how many people are not saving for retirement in their 20s and 30s thinking, I'll just catch up later because I'll make more money later. And while that's the case, you're also going to be spending a lot more money later. And it's not going to get easier to save for retirement necessarily in the future.
You're going to have to throw more at it because you got to make up for the loss of compounding.
Absolutely. But the things it brings up here, some reasons you spend more money in your 40s than in your 30s. Number one, just the fact that you make more money, you kind of have the feeling that, you know, what's $200? You know, what's buying a new car versus a used car? I'm making a lot more money. Certainly, you're going to be a little more open to making big purchases like that. But number two, kids.
Really?
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Is that what you're hearing?
Right. Another one they bring up, and we'll expand on all these coming up on the weekday version. But talking about your home. Now, usually you can buy a nicer home in your 40s, and you're not usually going to the upgrade factor, though. What they're talking about is that home you bought 15 years ago, Might need a new roof now. Air conditioner might go out. You might have a crack in your foundation, or your driveway has to be resurfaced, things like that. Your home improvements, that shows that you spend more money as a percentage of your income in the 40s than 30s in keeping up your home. Is that experience you've can verify?
Yeah, those things will need upkeep from time to time. And, you know, my latest version is tried to make, even the previous one I built back in 2001 was like, what can be the most possible low maintenance way of building the exterior of the home?
Maintenance in mind, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And still today, think of that. Like, what my spare time or the expense of it? What's going to work the longest? And James, how old are you now? 36?
39.
39. Oh, you're getting to that 40s.
Oh, someone shoot me.
It's going to cost more. I bet you wished you had a bigger house.
No.
You don't?
I mean, it'd be nice, but I don't want to. Right now, my home's so expensive, that sounds like a nightmare, a bigger house. Upkeep, and I mean, I wish I could afford a larger house, and if I could, yes, I would love a bigger house. But on this salary, no. I'm tapped out.
Well, I'm kind of talking about your future salary, because you have a goal.
Oh, yeah. No. So, if you're talking about future fantasy, I want a palace. I want a castle.
Okay. Realistic goal.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
You would spend more if you make more.
Yes.
So that goes to what you were talking about.
Yeah, but you shouldn't pattern your spending habits after me. I'm the bad example. You're the good example. Right?
I was just wanting your personal take because I know where you're from and where you're headed.
Yeah, I'm a huge house. And I don't mean that little castle out in Irish Bayou. I want a castle, but like Sophia the First castle. I want the flying Pegasus and everything. Well, a couple more things. I wanted to say goodbye
to... And a Pokemon Go area.
No, I'm going to buy my way to the top of Pokemon if I have money. I'm not going to work for it.
Oh, okay. So it does make money that way.
Yeah. If I had money, I would spend it. But I wanted to do a farewell to the VCR. The last VCR was made in Japan this week, and aside from a couple of other off-brand generics out there, it's largely done. No more VCRs, Gregory. End of an era. Are you going to miss it?
No.
Nah, me neither.
I've not used one in 10 years. Probably longer. I just don't recall.
When's the last time you used a DVD player?
Last week.
Oh. Yeah, we only use them for the kiddos.
But I use it for streaming. I didn't put a disc in it.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. All right, your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Stay put. Coming up next, Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein, member of the Total Wealth Authority. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.